Hello everyone and welcome to JFG Tonight, starting 1 hour later than usual, simply because Mama JF wanted to do so many activities today that I didn't have time to start at the regular hour, so I got exposed to sun, and I always need an hour or two to recover from all this exposure to the outside air and sun. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? Mark says 1 hour, I count 2 hours. Well, that's also on top of our summer schedule, which is already 1 hour delayed, as you point out, indeed. Anti-LGBTQ plus groomer slur banned on Reddit in bid to tackle hate speech. Your move, Twitter. Well, first, groomer is not an anti-LGBTQ plus slur. It is not even a slur. Groomer is an accusation. And groomer is an accusation as to someone's behavior with respect to children. And to be honest, some of the LGBT propaganda that children are getting exposed to right now in schools are pushed by non-LGBT people. They are pushed by basically white liberals, white heterosexual cisgender liberals. So it is not a slur. It is a necessary word in a societal discussion, because there currently is a war for the minds of our children. You know, the slogan of InfoWars, it's happening, and at this point it's happening as a combat, an InfoWars for what kind of info will be seeded into the brains of children. And there are basically two positions in that war. Either you are for experimenting with what we put in their brain and trying to engineer a society of the future based on ideals that were never enacted in the real world, on basis of equality and a dream of a utopia in which everyone is accepted for who they are, which is the left's position. Or you believe in some value of keeping what has worked in the past, keeping what has been demonstrated to work in the past in terms of ideological program inserted in children's brain, and stick to traditions, conservatism, and favor even the lifestyle that we know will lead to more happiness, less suicide, more sustainability, more so much goodness, which is the heterosexual lifestyle. It's incredible the amount of... And on top of it, they will also ban on Reddit exactly what I was about to invoke, suicide statistics. See, because this debate so often goes to suicide statistics. Now we can't talk about it on Reddit anymore. But suicide statistics must be mentioned. Basically, driving your child toward a lifestyle that has anywhere between 20% and 50% suicide rate, depending on what kind of lifestyle you direct them toward, is absolutely unethical. And we should be able to have that discussion. And we should also be able to have a word that points to people who want to pervert young children's mind. That word has come to be used by the right, groomer. It's been a very successful meme, and it's great because groomer is basically, I mean, a gender-neutral term. You can be a groomer of any sex, you can be a groomer of any sexual orientation, and it's the grooming we criticize, not your identity. But of course, Reddit will not be banning the term groomer for heterosexuals. You can still call an heterosexual a groomer. In fact, they will be banning groomer being used toward the LGBTQ plus community, which basically creates the exact same double standard that they've created back in the days for black people versus white people, which is that one sense of the racism was okay and the other sense of racism was not okay. So you can be racist against white people on many platforms. It will take the world before they ban you. And yet, if you say something racist about some other race than white people, you'll get spotted and you'll get banned. Same thing happening in our legal system, the double standard, where you have people, you have black people killing white people and basically saying, I hate white people while they do the killing. And this doesn't get judged as a hate crime somehow, because the judge is not totally convinced that there was a hateful intent, even if there was a hateful yell during the crime. And white people, on the other hand, when they are treated concerning hate speech and hate crimes, it is they don't even have to yell it. They sometimes it's just based on circumstantial evidence and an analysis of maybe their intent was hateful, therefore let's prosecute them. So now we have the birth of the double standard against the word groomer, which will be basically used by the LGBTQ plus community to do things that they want to be criticizable for, especially if Twitter follows onto the Reddit taunt, because they're now saying do it Twitter. If that follows, then you will be accused of transmitting Christian beliefs in your child's head and you'll be a groomer. But they cannot be accused of transmitting non-Christian beliefs to their child or to your child because it's hate speech. The vile slur which conflates LGBTQ plus identities with pedophilia has been increasing in use online and has now been banned by Reddit as hate speech. It is not true that groomer necessarily means pedophilia. Groomer means introducing the child to a direction in his sexual development that is in the direction that the LGBT activist would want it. That is basically converting the child to LGBT activism politically. That may sometimes involve pedophilia, and it may sometimes involve a relationship of predation, but it doesn't have to. And the groomer critique is much larger. In fact, it includes even Netflix, for example. Their special, their kind of movies where there were children featured and sexualized. Clearly, there's not been pedophilia happening here, and a company, anyways, cannot commit an act of pedophilia. But the critique is you are driving children toward wrong sexual behaviors by our standard. You are driving them to sexual behaviors that will be punishing them for the rest of their life, that will be associated with more suicide and more depression, more problems in their lives. That is the groomer critique. Of course, this kind of subtle argument will not be accepted by the censors. And so this journalist reported, Reddit will now enforce their hate speech policy on content that utilizes the groomer label, content that equates LGBTQ plus people to groomers and pedophiles will violate the hate speech policy. Yesterday, PCM's subreddit operators, Tiki, blah blah blah. The implication for hate speech are as follows. We won't be reproducing the full list published by the PCM operators, but the most important parts of those lists for our purposes are no portraying LGBT people as a whole as groomer or pedophiles, no portraying being transgender as a mental illness. So you cannot even talk about gender dysphoria anymore. Gender dysphoria is a psychiatric term. It is what is acknowledged to be happening in someone who's convinced that they are not the right sex. Well, if you use gender dysphoria now on Reddit, you are portraying transgender as a mental illness. No genocide denial. Very interesting. So this means you can only be alarmed at the fact that transgender people are being denied their existence and are being killed because of this. So when the Democrat politician in the hearing with the Republicans ends up saying, well, you know, by misgendering someone, you are refusing to acknowledge their existence as a trans person, and you are leading to deaths. So now, no genocide denial. So you cannot be on the side of the Republican in this conversation. You can only be like, oh my God, death. We have to stop these deaths. Referring to being trans as a mental illness, so that was already discussed. Suicide statistics, 40%. You cannot say on Reddit, look, this lifestyle is associated with a 40% suicide rate. That's just a fact. You could even bring that fact because you want to help trans people. But you can't bring that fact anymore on Reddit. It is a no-no. It is hate speech. So we cannot even have a societal discussion about how do we reduce this figure here? How do we get it down to 30, 20, and 10? No, because you cannot mention the 40% to begin with. Equating LGBT with pedophilia and groomer to refer to LGBT. So a whole part of the internet will be unable to have a serious societal discussion on, is it legitimate to have activists push their ideas, their views of their conception of sexual diversity to children of any age? Of course, it's Reddit, so who's still using Reddit and hoping free speech there? You would be an extremely naive person. But still, I'm worried about the increase of the space of the internet that is shut down from the free debate style that we used to enjoy 10 years ago. Spindly Opinion says the high suicide rate is consistent in countries which are gay-friendly and homophobic. So it's not the phobia that's causing it. I suspected that statistic, but I've never seen the statistic. So I would really love to see those statistics, because I think it's a very good experiment to make. So the Marxist view of LGBT suicide is that, oh, well, they get oppressed so much, it must be because of the oppression. But I, as a psychologist, you know, someone interested in cognitive psychology, I find this an extremely unlikely thing. I believe in behaviors, and behaviors emerged from within, and I don't think you could drive people to suicide with oppression. There's been people across history that have been more oppressed than others, and there's never been a correlation with suicide. In fact, if anything, perhaps oppressions of certain kinds kind of create a will to live, a will to revolt. And I'm not talking about LGBT here, but I'm talking about general historical oppressions. I'd be very surprised if a more accepting country was to lead to the reduction of the suicide rate. Because ultimately, I believe the suicide rate is probably linked to a kind of existential angst in the fact that we are human beings, we have evolved to be the way we are, and the main thing for which we have evolved is reproduction. And if you start your life and you start politically identifying with the very fact of not having children, of not having biological descent, it must cause some existential angst of the kind that I think would be likely to lead to suicidal thoughts. When you realize that the entire rest of your life is meaningless outside of yourself, that you will have no lasting impact on the world, that you will be basically enjoying life on certain days, not enjoying life on other days, but one day your brain disappears and there's no follow-up to it. That is the kind of existential angst that someone who has a medical fertility problem may suffer from. And that is definitely what you commit to if you commit to a life in LGBT activism. So all in all, this is a measure that will only make Reddit even less attractive. But Reddit has already gone the wrong way in terms of controlling speech, so I don't think it's a serious platform for anyone wanting to engage in a serious discussion. The saddest thing is you're going to have people create a safe space like this, but this won't change how people perceive the issue of, you know, inserting activist IDs in children's brain. People will just be more silent on the internet about it, but they will think the same in the back of their head. And unfortunately, this ban will keep LGBT activists from understanding the real philosophical question that their existence poses, which is, are you entitled to put IDs in my child's brain? And, you know, leaving aside the fact that these IDs are associated with a high suicide rate, are you even entitled, even if they were not causing suicide? Are you entitled to control my child's brain? Go away, says Jeff. Can you still accuse an individual LGBT person of grooming children, assuming you have evidence? Or is that banned on Reddit too? Well, so they say the association between grooming and the LGBT person or LGBT as a whole is what's wrong. But of course, we know how it's going to turn out. What it's going to turn out is when the moderator reviews your statement, he won't care about whether you have actual evidence that this particular individual was actually grooming. They're just going to ask, is the word groomer used? Is the person LGBT? Well, then it becomes a reference to all LGBT people, and then it's hate speech. So that's how these things get resolved. It's always a leftist mod. Anyways, like, who would be fascinating enough with the opportunity of censoring other people to make it a title of theirs? Like, oh yeah, I'm a Reddit mod. Like, yeah, okay, you already have problems here. The fact that you have self-selected to take pride in this job probably means you're a leftist already. People have been talking about this message to Muslims by Jordan Peterson. Okay, let's have a look.
I would first like to say that I could not be more pleased or honored that such is the case. It has been so heartening.
He says such is the case that he has Muslim audience.
To see that my biblical lectures, for example, attracted a large Muslim audience, and that the comments from the Muslim watchers and listeners to my YouTube channel and podcast have been so extraordinarily positive.
Oh, by the way, I don't want to spoil it for you, okay? Jordan Peterson is about to tell Muslims exactly what he's telling to white people. Don't engage in the fight for existence at the political level, because the devil is inside of you. And basically, that's what he says to Muslims, okay? Now, if you take exactly what he says to white people, it's the same format, it's the same pattern, but the words are changed a little bit. What he's saying to white people is, do not engage in any identity politics. Clean your room. Now, what he's saying to Muslims is exactly the same, but with different words. He's saying, stop engaging in internal political wars and external political wars with other religions. And clean your room. But he's not telling them clean your room. He's telling them the devil is inside of you.
And all this is lovely to see in the aftermath of the extraordinary Abraham Accords, which have laid out the possibility for peace between all the people of the book in an unprecedented manner. And I have something to say as an extension of all of this. Please forgive my presumption, if you would. It is time for those of you in the Muslim world to stop fighting among yourselves, you Shiites and Sunnis.
So you have to understand what the Muslim religion is and why it was successful. The Muslim religion is a software program for demographic domination. That's what it is. That's why certain countries have converted super quick to Islam and turned from being relatively liberal countries and turned to profound Islamic authoritarianism. It's because Islam wins in certain conditions. It wins when it can war at a with an army that is strong enough in a local context where it's not faced with a stronger army. It wins at the social level through extortion, through pushing people to basically forced conversion. And it wins at the demographic level because of its socially conservative family values. Those are the ingredients of success of the Muslim world against themselves. Because the current population that populates the areas of the world that are majority Muslim, it's just a fraction of the Middle Eastern genes that have survived in these countries. Basically, before having a claim at potentially overflooding France and overflooding Canada in terms of breeding rate and in terms of growth of the population, the Muslims had to overpopulate their own countries. These countries were not always Muslim, and it had to be the case that they reproduced so fast and they coerced so strongly that they became Muslim countries within the last, I don't know, more than 1,000 years. What's the year for Prophet Muhammad? 600, something like this. I don't quote me on the number, but more than 1,000 years, they've been successfully spreading. So asking Muslims stop fighting between one another is basically telling them the thing that led you to exist, give it up. Give up the infighting. But infighting is the reason, Jordan, that these countries have been successfully dominated by Muslims in the first place. So asking them to give up that is basically asking them to welcome Western openness to self-annihilation. And as much as it had success to do so in Western civilization, you won't convince Muslims to do that. They may pay lip service to your message of openness, but they will never genuinely adhere to it because there is something, I don't know if they cognitively, explicitly understand this or if it's just implicit in their mind and their religion, but somehow the Muslim system understands that self-annihilation is what follows when you stop fighting with everyone around you, when you stop fighting for existence, which is exactly what Western civilization has done. So your kind of unilateral disarmament demand to them would work if they were white people, but it won't work with the Muslims. Go away, says JF. There are more people of Irish heritage in the US than in Ireland. Was the potato famine actually a reproductive strategy of the Irish? I guess you could say this.
And also time to stop regarding the Christians, and even more specifically, the Jews.
The Christians, and even more specifically, the Jews. What is going on in Jordan Peterson's mind for such a sentence to come out? Is Jordan Peterson considering that Judaism is a branch of Christianity? I don't get it. Is Jordan Peterson thinking that Jews are Christians? I mean, I guess you could make a case that they share a book, but by this standard, then Muslims are Christians too. Because, you know, Mohammed acknowledges the Bible as existing, just like the Christians acknowledge the Ancient Testament as existing. Very bizarre phrasing here. I've never heard it that way. Is this a special belief of Jordan Peterson that I'm not aware of? Or is this a slip of the tongue? I don't know. But it seems that if you say Christians and even more specifically Jews, you are saying that Jews are part of the great Christian family. NDBL says the branch of Christianity that denies God. I don't know what would be the consequence of deciding to claim that Judaism is a branch of Christianity, but I can foresee a lot of problems, certainly for the people who believe in the Bible, you know, and who believe in these dogmas.
As your enemies. Why?
So he's saying, stop considering the Christians and the Jews, especially, as your enemies. I mean, what is to gain in the Muslim world to that kind of openness? I'm not sure. I think that it is a proper understanding in any society to understand alternative demographics as being not an enemy in the sense of a military enemy, but certainly a competitive threat. And so I believe it's a proper assessment to understand that the world of tomorrow, if societies are filled with white people, will be white societies with white norms, with white laws. And that if the world of tomorrow is filled with Muslims, then it will be a world of Muslim societies with Muslim norms and Muslim laws. The Muslims, I think, understand this properly, and I think it's an uncontestable fact of the world. It's a fact of evolution, basically, and you add to it your understanding of human politics, it's inevitable that demographics determine the future. So to that extent, the Muslims are correct in understanding that if they are part of a Christian society, they will be living under Christian rule, and if they are part of a Judaistic society, they will be living under Jewish rule.
Not least because you have the enemy located in the wrong place. First, the best place to find Satan, let's say, is within. If you think the true enemy is in someone else's.
There you go. Clean your room. And here you have basically the full meaning of clean your room. And I think Vox, they had understood this very early, that clean your room is an appeal to stop looking at the fight outside, start looking at the fight inside, which is a very good appeal for someone who's disturbed, dysfunctional, someone who suffers from psychological disorders or psychiatric disorders. Yes, that would be a good counseling to these people. The problem is there is no place in Jordan's practice for healthy people. There are a bunch of people who are still mentally healthy on this planet and who can start thinking about how we organize society and how we make it better, and who will inevitably be faced with the reality that any change to society is political in nature and will be countered by powerful political forces. And I'm not inviting people to delude themselves that they have power that they don't have. Because it's true, along the way of your political engagement, there will be lots of tempting beliefs that you can change the world when in fact you probably can't. But still, that is no reason to obfuscate one's brain to the reality, the political reality of the world. One should be aware that the political fight is overwhelming and is led viciously by the other side. And you should be aware, even if it's to attain a kind of black pill state, you should be aware that it's there, that there's a reason to be black pilled, and you have to understand how hard political change is. So what Jordan Peterson is doing here is to appeal to self-abnegation and appeal people to stop engaging with the truth of the political fight that is ongoing. And rightfully so, many people have pointed out years ago about Jordan Peterson. Why would he want to do this? Because a political fight will keep happening. Why does he want to withdraw the individuals as best as he can from political engagement? Is it because he thinks that there is a better force that will lead that fight properly? Is it because he thinks an expert class can handle the political fight while the everyday people can go silent in that dark night? I don't know what's motivating Jordan Peterson personally there. I think he falsely believes that somehow living in a non-political world for the individual, you know, obfuscating this truth from their vision will somehow help them lead better lives. I think it's an unsustainable thought. Think about it long-term, Jordan. So if everyone follows your advice, everyone is just looking at their own little thing, inevitably someone will be controlling society. Inevitably that person will in fact be able to do even dirtier stuff than right now because they won't be subject to review and to contestation and to protest and to eventually fight against their desires for society. So what you are advocating for, even if you were successful at 99.9%, for, let's say 99.9% people on the planet follow Jordan Peterson's advice, you have just created an expert class of people managing others. You have created the globalist technocratic state of experts and of technocrats. That is the most disgusting future I can think of. So, absolutely, Muslims do not follow Jordan Peterson's advice. It was very bad advice when he gave it to the Christian whites, and it's very bad advice when he gives it to you. Keep being who you are. I believe that embedded in the Muslim tradition is actually more wisdom than Jordan Peterson could ever spout to you, and especially spouts to you in that video. Is very bad counselor, and you guys Muslims have your shit together much more than Jordan does in his own personal life. So go by the demonstrated performance of the past. Although I'm not Muslim, I can admire that your family lifestyle is much more stable intergenerationally than Jordan's. All right. So do not follow his advice. Dino Lugovic says, I have JF and chat. I am complete. Well, that is a strong statement. Go away says, I don't get it. Are Muslims hobbits or elves? A very interesting question. We would have to ask Curtis Yarvin. What are the Muslims in the hobbit and elves metaphor? Ariel Suarez says, excellent, spot on, JF, thank you. If you would like to support the show, use the dollar button under the Odyssey chat, Odyssey Super Chats, are my favorite platform for super chats and questions. They are the best way to support the show. Alternatively, you can also use Entropy. The link to Entropy is in the description below. In bizarre move, mom of 10-year-old Ohio girl who got abortion defends rapist. There are a series of revelations in this case of a 10-year-old girl who had to have an abortion and had to get to another state to get it. And somehow the mom is saying, no, he didn't do anything wrong. Interesting case. It was relatively basically assumed that this guy was the one who raped her. He already confessed to raping the girl in two different instances. So they're waiting for DNA evaluation on the aborted embryo to determine that he was the father. But he's already confessed it. So I think it's one of these cases of female denial. The female parent sometimes will have issues acknowledging that their child has been raped, basically, by someone in a way that was basically caused by the mother, probably through her neglect and her lack of care of the danger of this man. So it's probably a case of, mothers are very bad sometimes at digesting that fact that they may have caused the rape of their daughter. LA Times report warns about environmental danger in solar transition. California has excess solar panel waste and limited means of disposal, the Times reported. California has been a pioneer in pushing for rooftop solar power, building up the largest solar market in the U.S. more than 20 years and 1.3 million rooftops later. The bill is coming due. The Times' Rachel Kissela reported that many solar panels that were purchased beginning in 2006, when the California government showered subsidies on homeowners to inspire a transition away from fossil fuels, are now reaching the end of their lifespan. Beginning in 2006, the state focused on how to incentivize people to take up solar power. Solar power, showered subsidies on homeowners who installed photovoltaic panels but had no comprehensive plan to dispose of them. Now, panels purchased under those programs are nearing the end of their 25-year life cycle. It's so heartbreaking what will happen with these solar panels. Apparently, there's no way to recycle them. And the fact that it only lasts 25 years, and in fact it's less than 25 years, the reality is they get weaker and weaker every year. Until these problems are fixed, solar power is just not worth it. And think about the huge environmental problem that it will be to handle this waste. I was pointing out yesterday on my Gab, CNN has titled this, they said, "Hypothetical weather forecast for 2050 is coming true next week." So if we believe what the different speakers of the left have been saying across the years, the end of the world is coming in 12 years, making it 2034. 2050 is in 28 years from now. So the end of the world is coming so fast that the weather of 2050 is happening this year. And so I'm saying, phew, we jumped over the end of the world part of climate change and we went straight to recovery. That was close. Happy it's over. That's what happens when you have an ideological movement that is fatalistic at every turn. At some point, you end up saying something that contradicts other tenets of your ideology. So here we have a couple of people saying, the end of the world is in 12 years. We have other people saying, wow, the weather today is as we had originally predicted for 2050. Well, if that was true, If those things were true, then we would already be at the end of the world moment. We would already be, by the way, at the irreversible moment that has been claimed again and again by environmentalists. So are we there yet? Are we at the irreversible moment, the point of no return? I can't wait to be there, because then it won't matter. Go away sends a super chat. He says, can you review the first 5 paragraphs of this article and tell us what the long-term physical and especially mental consequences of this will be? There must be some downside, right? At 2-year-old showed signs of puberty after he was exposed to his dad's testosterone gel. He developed pubic hair, and his height was off the charts. Barnaby Brownsell developed a sizable penis and pubic hair at the age of 2. Whenever Erica Brownsell took her 2-year-old Barnaby to the play area, other parents would ask why a child his size was still drinking from a bottle. On one occasion, she said, a stranger remarked that he looked like a little man. She said some people had called him a Viking or Simpson because of his muscular build. But it was only after Brownsell saw pubic hair around Barnaby's sizable penis that she got seriously worried. I knew it wasn't normal, the 43-year-old mom told Insider, noting that her toddler resembled a 4 or 5-year-old boy. He would have massive, sustained erections, and his height and weight were off the charts. Brownsell of Brighton, England, added, he weighed 26 pounds at the age of 1 and put on over 2 pounds every month between the ages of 12 and 18 months. It wasn't fat, just muscle. Well, that is a terrible story. It's too bad. We don't know what will happen, because I'm not aware of these cases. There is such a thing as early puberty syndrome. And I don't know if those are the correct terms, but puberty starting too early in one's life. And normally the way to address this is to give puberty blockers, basically. That's the very legitimate function of puberty blockers. It's to address a medical disorder. And I think, but you know, it's been so recent in the history of humanity that we are using pills. I don't know if there are any other cases like this boy where the precocious puberty is induced by basically wrongful taking of the medication, which is testosterone in this case. I'm not aware. But perhaps if you want to know what the long-term consequences of this are, look for precocious puberty. It's probably going to be similar. Now, I don't know by heart, but I remember precocious puberty is a grave thing. It can have massive consequences on your development as an adult going forward for the rest of your life. So, but whatever those symptoms are, look for precocious puberty, and it's probably what he's going to suffer from. Although perhaps they can have a strategy similar to precocious puberty, and it, with medication, maybe stop the phenomenon, in which case I don't know what are going to be the outcomes for him. But it's definitely something that must be taken very seriously medically. Lapitop says, maybe give him growth hormone too to prevent him to become very short. It's like, okay, guys, it's an early puberty, but we don't want to fight it. We want to create a superhuman. Let's give him growth hormones on top of it. Like, you're going to create a giant? What is it? That's it. At 38 years old, I have become addicted to answering plumbing questions on Quora. I just want to give back to the community. and someone titled me Jean-François Gariepy, biologist, author, plumber. In the last week or two, I've been totally fascinated. It's addictive. I get on Quora on my cell phone, and there's all sorts of questions that are unanswered, which I figured out the answers for myself. Because in the last year of my life, I've been learning plumbing at expert levels, including water automation, doing my own plumbing, how to do PEX connections, that kind of stuff. And so there's an infinite flow of questions, and I started just answering them. It's very addictive because there are people out there who don't know what you've learned, and it's super easy to communicate it to them. So I'm very glad that I had this old Quora, account that was still up after years. I mean, this is a picture of me when I was in PhD studies in the lab. My God, what was my age back then? It must have been in 2007, 2008. So that was, wow, that was 2000, if it was 2007, 8 or 9, it was basically 13 to 15 years ago. That was 13 to 15 years ago that I was standing in my PhD lab beside a balance and the chemicals hanging out on the wall. Wow, fascinating. And yes, this was still the picture on my Quora account. Vadet says, JFG tonight, how to install a king-size Taco Bell Supreme toilet with a beat. Mama JF is coming here. What's up, Mama JF?
I know, like, we're watching a movie. I'm like, hey, did you see this? The girl, what she did? I turned around, and JF is, like, on his phone.
Yes, Mama and JF, like, is watching Stranger Things. And very often, Mama JF will need a guide. She's like, what did he just say? And I'm like, I don't know what he just said. I'm answering plumbing questions on Quora.
Oh my God. Like, sometimes you don't even sleep. Like, you're just on Quora. What's happening?
I love it. I love it. It's a form of social networking that I knew existed. But I am never, I don't know, I've never gotten involved emotionally. And I don't know. I don't know how long it will last. At some point, they will reach the end of even my extensive plumbing knowledge. But up to now, the algorithm is like, oh yeah, JF, you're good at answering these questions. And he keeps sending it back to me. Kovi Kov Killa says, JF, is it because you have an IQ? I don't know what you mean. I do have an IQ, yes. Riding the Tiger says, JF, plastic or metal piping, which do you prefer? Well, if you've been watching my plumbing show, because I've explained everything, how to do the basic stuff of PEX plumbing, you will know that I love plastic plumbing. I love the idea of solderless connection. And I'm totally fine with PEX tubes. They've been absolutely wonderful. They've been holding up, and they've allowed me to be extremely creative with my improvement of the plumbing in my house. And yes, it's less expensive. Now people are afraid, what about the microplastics, JF? I don't give a shit about the microplastics. I mean, if you saw some of my family's microwave containers, just how damaged they've been, and how people were still eating spaghetti in it, and these people are still alive. You're never going to convince. I mean, I could eat these microwave containers just, and I would have no problem. Because I've seen these microwave containers across the year basically decompose themselves into the spaghettis of my loved ones. And I didn't see them die. Now, I'm not telling you that I use these plastic microwave bowls. I'm kind of I'm kind of being cautious with it. But if you're gonna tell me that a pipe that remains pristine, and it's like you cut a PEX pipe after 5 years, you don't see scratches in it. It's still pristine. It hasn't if it has released any microplastic, it's less than a gram per meter. It's less than maybe a microgram per meter. I'm not worried about these small quantities of plastic. In fact, if there's anything that's chemically inactive in the biological sphere, it's probably plastic, you know, with its hydrophobic qualities. And the people who have sent me these studies, which I've reviewed live on the show, these studies about microplastics, they were extremely disappointing because they're taking a syringe filled with per microplastic. They're injecting it in the belly of a rat, and they're like, see how dangerous it is? The rat is not doing good. And it's like, bro, you've injected like the equivalent of amount of microplastics that would be making it to my body in a billion years. Of course the rat is not doing good. You just replace the water in his body with microplastics. I hope he's not doing good. Go away, says JF. Microplastics are why I'm 5'8" and 112 pounds with a low sperm count. There may be other reasons for it. Go away. There may be other reasons. All right. What else do we have? The Ukraine war is continuing, very slow pace. But Russia is maintaining its domination over these areas, and there's been some fighting going on in the cities along this road, which I indicated if Vladimir Putin wants to progress in any direction, it's probably going to be in that direction to close the V here. And who knows if he's interested in Kramatorsk. Perhaps he's not that interested at continuing his progressions, but for now this is what it looks like. Basically a maintenance of the situation as we had seen it more than a week ago. Russia is fighting all of this empire of lies and hypocrisy, vassals, and liberated 20% of Ukraine. Look at what Russia is fighting against, all of these countries. And he was pointing out on Gab, almost all of those states together couldn't take 10 meters square of Yugoslavia in 1999. Do the math. Yeah, that's an interesting take, you know, that Russia having taken any land from Ukraine is a radical success with respect to how the American Empire has been relatively failing. The American Empire has been successful at one thing, and it's to totally destroy a nation and basically try to rebuild over it, and fail at times even at the rebuilding. Mark says, JF, will you have CRP on again? Well, yeah, right now I'm not doing much guest shows, but I'm always up to speak again with CRP. He's a friend. And of course I would, but I see that he's doing a lot of discussion style live streams. So if you guys love his content, you can always get them. But I decided not to go full in the kind of let's be geopolitical analyst type of trend, because I feel that my commentary has always been connected to geopolitics, but that this show can never become a dedicated geopolitics show. The way the Durand has been doing, for example, you know, let's talk to some experts and let's have an in-depth conversation about the state of the Russia-Ukraine war. I want to fully understand the Russia-Ukraine war, and I've been doing many, many shows about it to show you the reality, but I will always approach it from a journalistic standpoint, rather than, oh, let's talk about geopolitics. Let's talk about strategy and let's endlessly, you know, describe what could happen and what. It's not my thing. It's at least it will never be my main thing. Firestarter says Specs is for water delivery and PVC is for drainage, I think. Well, yeah, PVC or ABS pipes for drainage. Yes, that's generally what it's for. Based says, JF, what do you think of PTSD and psychosomatic cortisol release triggers / trauma? How do you think people heal from this? Be it induced from abused drugs, is it different? Or what does the workings of neurology / endocrine system suggest? Chemical intervention, rest, or controlled exposure like phobias? This is a disorganized question. What do I think of PTSD? Well, I think it's I think it's a terrible thing to suffer from. I know what PTSD is. I wouldn't say I experienced PTSD in my life, but I've experienced some degree of anxiety at the idea of being falsely pursued in court, at the fact that my exes started telling lies about me. I have experienced kind of the border of PTSD from this, so I know how it feels. And I can guess that, you know, if I had been in a war situation with missiles flying over my head and my friends losing their leg to some remote mines or improvised explosive device, I'm sure it would have been worse. But I know the basic feeling of anxiety from being absolutely shocked of severe attacks being launched against you. So I know what it is. It's bad. How do we fight it? I think that we don't have much chemical interventions yet, and it's not being studied strong enough. And I would advocate for finding better drugs and finding even drugs that currently exist, but that are still not popularized as being effective against PTSD. One of my big hope, I've shared it on the private Patreon hangout a few months ago. One of my big hopes is propranolol, because propranolol masters the neutralizing of adrenaline on your heart system. And it's originally, you know, meant as a heart-only medication. So it's not a psychiatric medication. It's not something that will go in your brain and change the dynamics there. But they have been somewhat successful in certain studies at helping people who have PTSD. And I don't think we have a full mechanistic understanding of what it does for this. But my guess is, because you neutralize the effect of your anxiety, you know, your boost of anxieties and your boost of adrenaline that come out of nowhere, you neutralize the effects of these boosts on the body, and eventually the mind ends up doing better, because at least the mind doesn't have to suffer from having your heart pumping and you being kind of in a bodily state of fighting or of aggression, of responding to aggression. So a very underestimated drug is propranolol at this moment for its positive effect on people with PTSD. And unfortunately, the studies that have come out, some of them are finding so or so effects, or even maybe absence of effect, or effect just in a small portion of the population. So I'm disappointed. Of course, we have to also consider the possibility that PTSD may not be one thing. And that if you take 1,000 people who say they have PTSD, perhaps perhaps 250 of them have something that would be very well addressed by propranolol, and perhaps 250 of them basically have something else. I think we need to be finer in our understanding of it. I don't think we will become finer because we simply don't have the means for genuine, proper, specific diagnosis in mental health disorder. There are certain things we can do relatively well, like I was about to say, like delusions, we can identify them well. But when you think about it, when you come into the world of identifying someone as having schizophrenia, even there are problems because, well, some of the symptoms will overlap with bipolar. Some of the symptoms of psychosis are also present in borderline personality disorder. So you have these, what they call clusters of mental health disorder, where there's so much overlap between these things. I don't think we are very fine in our identification of this. For example, PTSD. PTSD totally overlaps with anxiety, and it overlaps with depression also. So do we end up saying, well, you have PTSD, or you have anxiety, or you have depression, or you have anxiety comorbid with PTSD? And what is even PTSD? Is it just suffering from a past event? Because a lot of people end up having depressions following a sad event in their life, like their girlfriend leaves them. Is that a mini PTSD? We don't have much tools to give fine diagnosis. And so we end up making studies eventually on the medication, but we haven't even sorted out, do the people in this group correspond to one thing? The people I ended up classifying it as PTSD, do they suffer from the same thing? Because then it won't be surprising if they don't suffer from the same thing, and if there are underlying complexities that we don't understand yet. Sorry, I sneezed and I was unable to mute the microphone. If these things are poorly diagnosed to begin with, then it's going to be impossible to interpret the results of these studies when it comes to the effect of medication. So that's my position on PTSD. Based says, Jeff, what do you think of the MDMA therapy for PTSD currently being advanced in the US? I don't... Okay, he has reformulated his question. He says, have you read anything on the efficacy? Oh God, I have my allergies popping up. MDMA, have you read anything on the efficacy of this? MDMA for? What is MDMA-assisted therapy for PTSD? MDMA, more popularly known as ecstasy or Molly, is a psychoactive drug that acts as stimulant and releases chemicals in your brain, blah blah blah. Experts are tapping into MDMA's effects as part of therapy for severe post-traumatic stress disorder. How can MDMA help? PTSD, blah 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 blah. There's no medication to treat PTSD itself, but some medicine may ease symptoms. Treatments like talk therapy and cognitive therapy, blah blah blah, but almost a third of people drop out of therapy, and up to 58% still have PTSD symptoms after they finish. This is where MDMA comes in. Oh my God, did I just read this correctly? Therapy can help you so much. But the problem is that people don't stay in therapy. And so here's this addictive drug which provides a sense of goodness. Perhaps we can make you addicted to the therapy that is so good for you. I mean, this is basically what is being suggested here. So we would give them addictive drugs so that they enjoy the therapy that they so desperately need. But if they were if they were leaving the therapy, if they were not interested in continuing the therapy, perhaps there is a valid reason for it. Experts have found that when people with PTSD are given a certain amount of MDMA in a clinical setting, it helps them to open up so they can work through traumatic events. Holy shit, this is the end stage of psychology. So, oh my god, talking about how you feel, tell me about how you feel, really. Oh, you don't want to tell me about how you feel? Here's a drug this drug will open you up so that you are better performing on the psychologist's couch. It will get you to the point where you get that very good therapy effect. This is unbelievable. Finding that MDMA in a clinical setting helps people to open up. It's like, oh yeah, I found that giving cocaine to rats leads them to keep pushing on the button. Like, why don't you give them cocaine at this point? I find this a little ridiculous. By the way, I'm not against. If MDMA was to serve some good function in psychiatry, I wouldn't be against using it. But the fact is, I'm afraid that increasingly in psychiatry, we are measuring as a clinical improvement, we are measuring basically people just being more happy because we gave them drugs that make them feel good. I think it's a wrong approach to therapy. It's a wrong approach to the concept of medicine. It's like, imagine someone comes with, I don't know, a chopped arm. I lost my arm, okay? I lost my arm. Now imagine 10 people like this coming. To 5 of them, I give cocaine, ecstasy, pot, mushrooms, LSD. And to 5 of them, I give nothing. Of course. Of course, the 5 of them I gave drugs to are going to be doing better. You're going to have some measurement on which they're doing better. And it's like, would you conclude that chopped arm, that losing your arm, is the proper medical response to this is give them cocaine? Because, yeah, cocaine will make them feel better for a while. And it may actually even improve the patient experience and all sorts of other patient measures. So do we now give cocaine to everyone who loses their arm? We shouldn't, because the cocaine is obviously not addressing the medical disorder at play. And I'm not sure that ecstasy here is addressing the medical disorder at play. I think it's luxury. A recreational drug. Luxury in the sense that you can afford not going to buy it on the street and buy it from your psychiatrist or your psychologist. Hello, Mama JF, what's up?
Hey, also, they don't say after you take that, like, you're gonna feel so bad. Oh, like, yeah. Your neuron cannot even produce serotonin anymore. It's like all dried up.
Yes.
And it takes like months to recover.
Oh, yeah? To recover from ecstasy, months?
Yeah.
I thought it was a couple of days of down feeling.
No, it has thing in your brain for months after it's all dried up. You okay. Cannot even produce serotonin.
Okay. Yeah, I've heard this about there's so much release that basically there's nothing left. So much release of serotonin that it creates a problem. Unjustifiable Musk liars move to delay warp speed Twitter trial. So Elon Musk has given the beginning of an answer to the Twitter lawsuit, and basically it is to request that this doesn't operate on a speedy trial emergency mode, but that we wait until regular time, like February or March, to get the to get the trial going. I don't know if this will pass as an emergency. I think the most likely thing is that there will not be a warp speed trial because this case is so big. And it's not like the rights at play are unrepairable. I think the rights at play long-term can be repaired by compensation. So it's not like an emergency where someone's going to die. Elon Musk will still be here next year. Twitter will still be here. Twitter suspends pro-abortion group publicizing Justice's home address. Of course, the left is at it. They are doxing and publishing the addresses of the Supreme Court justices for harassment purposes. And it's so long before Twitter did anything about it. They went so much harsher against so much smaller violations by the right. But when the left when the left clearly is appealing to harassment of public officials, it takes weeks. Go away, says Jeff. It's called serotonin syndrome, and it occurs if you abuse MDMA on a regular basis. It can create permanent damage. Okay. I've been told all these things. So yes, I acknowledge that it's a problem. The down effect after the trip of ecstasy. Amid high gas prices, Pete Buttigieg slammed for telling Americans to switch to electric cars. There's been a couple of news items like this in the past months, but the Democrats keep coming back to it. Buy electric cars, buy electric cars. Well, they're not economically viable right now. Right now, I buy an electric car, I lose money. So it's not a solution to inflation. It's not a solution to gas prices because it's going to cost more. All right, what else do we have? Nancy Pelosi, House Democrats pass measure to identify neo-Nazis in the military and law enforcement. I know how this is going to end up. It's going to end up as, well, this becomes a tool to identify right-wingers who don't agree with the ideological program of the Democrat Party. Major study confirms COVID vaccines alter women's period. I don't find it a particularly quality study. It's basically it's not even randomly picked subjects. It's people who are self-reporting to this study. So you have the problem that it can overestimate the people because when you make a public appeal saying, hey, do you want to join this study, people? The people who will respond to this appeal are much more likely to have suffered a negative effect because they want to talk about it. They're like, oh yeah, let's include myself in it. So when you have that kind of self-selection polluting the signal of a study, you don't really know what the... So they say like 42% of people with regular menstrual cycles said they bled more heavily than usual after vaccination. 14% reported a lighter period. The data is biased to begin with because you've appealed people to respond to this survey-like study. A true study picks its subjects at random or will use a kind of measure, like they will take everyone who comes into the hospital and then they'll make a study about these people. But if you allow people to self-select into your study, you are introducing noise. Ariel Suarez says, Jeff, what kind of stuff have you been trying? In the past, I've not been wanting to talk about this, and I don't know. The reason probably was back then that on YouTube, I was worried on YouTube because there's this ban of recommending drugs that are subject to there's all sorts of rules around drugs on YouTube. And I was very worried that it would lead to my demonetization because someone would say, oh, he's recommending LSD. I'm certainly not recommending any drugs because although I've had experience with drugs back in my leftist days, literally all of them I recommend against. Drugs will take your attention, your efforts away from the actual things that you have to do in life, which is build a family, build a house, build a life for yourself, build a life for your children. This is the most important. And there's no way drugs can help you in any way to perform this efficiently. So I'm really serious when I say I don't recommend drugs. I highly recommend against them. But when I was young, I tried basically all drugs. Basically. When I was a teenager and a young adult, I basically tried all drugs that were available on the market. Although in my days, that didn't include crystal meth, for example. So I've never tried crystal meth. But I did try these drugs. And I tried the ones that make you highly psychedelic experiences, like LSD and mushrooms. I tried pot. I tried all the forms of different ways of pot. I tried all sorts of drugs in powder forms. So basically, I've been having all of these possible experiences with drugs that create some kind of feeling of addiction, drugs that create feelings of relief, drugs that create feelings of love, feelings of excitement, dopamine release, psychedelic experiment, visual hallucinations of all kind, auditory hallucinations of all kind. I'm saying it now, first because I'm not on YouTube anymore, so what? And I hope that it's very clear that I don't recommend those experiences. But also I've been annoyed by, so someone was telling me, Sam Harris claims that people who don't recommend LSD have never tried LSD. I tried these drugs, and I've had the full experience of these drugs, and I would totally recommend against them. It is absolutely unproductive. You will be fucked up in the head for 8 hours, 17 hours, 24 hours, and there really is no coming back to not having these experiences. Like, your brain is changed forever in a way. People like to say, oh, well, so these effects are temporary. It's not a temporary effect to know what you've experienced. These memories will be in your brain forever. And in that sense, the effect of all drugs are permanent. They leave a permanent trace in your brain, even if it was just the memory of the experience. A guy from V says, and psilocybin, LSD is blah, and psilocybin are similar, both shit. Well, they are drugs that create these visual and virtual experiences. It's not worth exploring this because you totally disconnect from reality and you become very unproductive. You think about this as if it was very important. Mama JF, what's up?
Hey, last time I smoked weed, okay? I was on the computer. Then I start playing YouTube music. Then I start playing like plenty of songs in the same time. Like 5 songs in the same time on YouTube. Then I was like, oh my god, I'm mixing the music. This is so beautiful.
Then DJ Mama JF.
And I was trying to put them like at the right time. And then I recorded it, and then I had like 2 hours of this on my computer. Then the day after, I listened to it, and it was just noise, like...
Oh, yeah. Five different tracks played at the same time. Not synchronized through any tempo, but you felt like you were DJing. That is hilarious. But it's exactly what... drugs like pot do. They create the delusion, the temporary delusion, that what you do is special and important. And that is a very bad effect of drugs. It's not often that you will hear it mentioned. People will, oh, the experience, you know, experience a different mind. Well, one of the great negative effects of drugs is to focus you on your mind and the differences of the ways your mind could work, and to think that ultimately you matter. You don't really matter. Nothing else matters than what you can build in your lifetime and what can survive your death. And that is certainly not what drugs will lead you to care about. Drugs will always turn you toward your own existence, your own mind, and your own self. Not what you can do, not what you can see, and not what truly exists after your death. In fact, drugs only help you focus precisely on the part of you that will not exist after your death, which is your mind. Go away, says Jeff. You should tell people you came up with TRP while tripping on shrooms. You will get an invite to the Joe Rogan Experience the next day, guaranteed. You're absolutely correct. You're absolutely correct. I had never thought of this. You know, I kept promoting this book as a science book. I was like, very important discovery. Read this, Joe Rogan. But no, you're right. The way to get on Joe Rogan is to claim that I have come up... Joe Rogan, this message is for you. I want to share an insane idea that, I don't know, bro. I have the impression it comes from a separate fucking dimension. So I was with my buddy, smoking weed and taking LSD. And like, I get blown by this kind of wave-like thing that comes from like some other dimension out there. Like, I don't know how to explain it, but you know what I'm saying? Some like interdimensional communication led me to come up with this idea. And I've put it in a book. I just laid it out. Bro, you should check it out. I think that will get me on Joe Rogan. Finally, we found it. We found it. Far fewer military families recommend uniformed service. According to a survey, this will be our last news item for tonight. Just 63% of surveyed service member and family members would recommend service to someone considering it. Down from 74%, 74.5% in 2019. So in just under the Biden years, under the end of Trump and toward the Biden years, you had a major drop of how people in the army say, don't come here. It's not the right place for most people. You will not enjoy it. They're probably getting harassed with so many anti-rape training at this point. It's like, no, don't do this. It's not worth it. So life in the military becoming less attractive, at least for the people who are inside of it. Bez sends a chat. He says, JF, so you would totally see it as a viable way to keep the population docile, dazed, and confused, away from the levers of political power. This whole conception that drugs, this whole 6D chest, they want to control your mind type of argument about drugs, I don't like them. I don't like them because those are conspiracy theories by the very basic definition of them. Like it's like attributing intent where no intent is needed. You know, drugs have developed, psychedelic drugs have developed in the last 100 years, which is exactly the era of humanity in which all drugs have developed, in which we've exponentially grown our medical and technological knowledge. So this idea of we want to control the population with drugs, I don't like it. It's kind of putting it on the shoulder of an untraceable elite rather than realizing that drugs are available, they exist, and ultimately it's the behavior of people and the decision making of people that leads them into those wrong directions. Dino Logovich says, JF looks like that magician from the 70s if you take exactly the right drug. Okay. Under certain types of drug, I may look like a magician from the 70s. Oh yeah, last news item is this Fauci, actually. The Fauci comment. We're getting to Fauci, guys. We are slowly changing Fauci. The elite concerning COVID is no more in the discourse that the vaccine is perfectly safe. They have gone to, you know what? It could happen that the vaccine is not safe. In fact, it keeps happening. That's what Dr. Fauci is saying.
But in people who are out there in a risk situation, this would not be the first time, if it happened, that a vaccine that looked good in initial safety actually made people worse. There was the history of the respiratory syncytial virus vaccine in children, which paradoxically made the children worse. One of the HIV vaccines that we tested several years ago actually made individuals more likely to get infected.
Oh, wow. With these vaccines, we don't need the disease. Oh, yeah. We had this HIV vaccine that was helping people get HIV. We had the syncytial virus that was vaccine that was helping people get the syncytial virus. You know, let's start talking about those vaccines that actually help contribute to you getting the disease. Well, there's a whole history of those vaccines. It exists. Well, that's good to know now. We should say this, you know, in the heat of anti-vaxxer oppression. We should say this a year ago and 2 years ago when the leftists were trying hard to make it compulsory in society to get that vaccine. That again and again in the history of vaccination, people have exposed themselves to massive risks and for vaccines that sometimes will enhance the disease. This should be on every vaccination pamphlet by the government. It should be written in the biggest font. Robert sends a super chat. Robert Paulson says, drugs are bad. Look at what happened to TJ Kirk. Well, thank you so much for your support, Robert. And yes, drugs are bad. They are not tools for productivity. They turn you toward the inside, and the inside doesn't matter all that much. Your inside has actually evolved that way, to be that way, for what it can help you do on the outside, for what can help you fix the world, see the world, and change the world. Bye-bye, much love, and I will see you all tomorrow. Don't forget, join the Patreon or Subscribestar at the $20 level. This will help the show, and we'll have our private Patreoning out on Monday. That's in 2 days from now. Bye bye, everyone.